This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning. I'm David First. The stunning election of Donald Trump has prompted arguments among Democrats about how to move forward as a party. And for those who opposed a candidacy fueled by divisive rhetoric, the question will be, how do you work with this guy? Do you work with him at all? Some, like Senator Bernie Sanders, have said they will hold him accountable for what he said on the campaign trail, but are willing to find ways to work with Trump.
If you have the courage to actually stand up to the big money interests of the billionaire class, if you have the courage to, in fact, develop policies that will improve lives of working people, count us in.
But others have said that the man has just done too much damage. We continue to hear your opinions on this election. We are joined now by writer Lizzie Skernick, who wrote an essay for Dame magazine this week called Meet the Real Face of the Trump Voter. Lizzie Skernick, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
What is the real face of the Trump voter? What do you think? You've written that people didn't vote for Trump despite the divisive rhetoric. They voted for him because of it.
Yes. You know, all of the talk right now has focused on the white working class voter, but they were actually not the majority of the people that voted for Trump. The majority of the people that voted for Trump, you know, are white and fairly well off. I grew up with a lot of people like that, and I've known a lot of people like that. I know people that have voted for Trump here in New Jersey where I lived, and I wanted to write about those voters because it doesn't make sense to focus on a small slice of voters when the majority of people voted for him for an entirely different reason.
What is that reason?
Well, I mean, I really do think it was because they needed somebody to agree. The people that I grew up with who are conservative are not invested so much in the stock market. They're invested in this idea that they're the victims, that they're the victims of people on welfare, that they're the victims of immigrants who are taking their jobs, that they're the victims of political correctness. And I think in Trump, they really found a confirmation of this and a way to sort of hold off this new world, this new multicultural world that a lot of us would like to keep living in.
Jamel Bowie, who is the chief political correspondent for Slate, he writes that there is no such thing as a good Donald Trump voter, saying that, you know, you can't separate any other motivating reason to vote for Donald Trump from the rhetoric that he used over the past year and a half of his campaign. That's 59 million people. Do you subscribe to that notion?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is a really racist country. And I think any person who is not a white person can tell you that. We're not a country that is free of the specter of racism at all. That doesn't mean that they're not also good people. It doesn't mean that they're not good neighbors. Many of the people that I know that hold racist beliefs are in my family. I love them. They're friends of mine. I've dated many of them for a very long time. I've tried to turn them as best I can, but it doesn't make them not racist.
Jon Stewart was a guest on CBS This Morning This Week, and here's what he had to say.
There is now this idea that anyone who voted for him has to be defined by the worst of his rhetoric. Like, there are guys in my neighborhood like, that I love, that I respect, that I think have incredible qualities, who are not afraid of Mexicans and not afraid of Muslims and not afraid of blacks. They're afraid of their insurance premiums. In the liberal community, you hate this idea of creating people as a monolith. Don't look at Muslims as a monolith. They are the individuals, and it would be ignorance. But everybody who voted for Trump is a monolith, is a racist. That hypocrisy is also real in our country.
Well, I think my response is an answer that he said it himself. He said, everybody who voted for Trump. And that is a monolith. Trump was unprecedented in his racism and his outright sexism and his xenophobia. And if you voted for that, he was not only unprecedented, he had actually planned to go along with it, things he was going to do to his neighbors. If you are not minding that someone is racist, it's really the predominant kind of racism our country has.
How should people be responding to Donald Trump? Just thinking of one example from this past week, Bernie Sanders says if Donald Trump has the guts to stand up to corporate America and fight to stop companies from moving overseas, he will have an ally with me. He also did say Trump needs to apologize for his divisive language on the campaign trail. He said there are places where there can be no compromise, racism, homophobia, sexism, Islamophobia. But what is the right response?
What Bernie is saying is it's divisive language. It's not language. It's plans. It's people. It's actual people he has hired. And it's an agenda. If you don't oppose that with action as a senator, you know, the fact that he's pretending that the deporting of 3 million immigrants is divisive language is horrifying to me.
Writer Lizzie Skernick, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.